in a world where options are limitless, but time is not, two heroes take a stand against injustice and overwhelming viewing choices. Starring Jane Ellen.
I don't see how the human race survived the medieval period.
And Adam Cravens.
A lot of them didn't.
This is Binge or Cringe. A podcast that lets you know what's worth watching and what's not. From the Henson Oakley Podcast Center and Rock 93.7.
Hello and welcome to Binge or Cringe. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.
And you may have heard of a woman by the name of Dolly Parton.
I've heard of her.
Yeah.
I've been to her amusement park.
Yes. Dolly has a deal with Netflix.
She does?
Yeah. And Dolly...
Wait, is it to make Christmas movies?
No.
Oh.
It's to
that
make...
That sounds like something she'd do. A Coat of Many Colors.
No. Heartstrings.
That sounds like something she'd do.
And what she has done is... I'm telling you, when you think of Netflix, what types of shows do you think of?
When I think of
original
Netflix,
stuff, what types of shows do you think of?
Lost in Space, that one about people that drop into other people's bodies.
House of Cards.
I watch a lot of like science fiction and like, you know, evil political stuff, like evidently.
Okay, so you are familiar, I'm sure, with Lifetime and Hallmark.
I know
they exist.
And I know the kind of movie. I haven't necessarily like perused the entirety of their catalog, but I know that they exist and I understand
right.
What kind of movies they are.
That is the feeling I got off of this. And it's not a movie.
How?
So far, it's like 8 episodes based on her songs. So the first one that I've seen is the first song. It's about Jolene, and she's told this story many, many times. She was newly married, and there was a beautiful redhead that worked at the bank, and she got jealous because of her husband talking to this woman.
Please tell me there's an episode that Reba McEntire guests in, and Fancy is her name.
Who knows? I haven't gotten to that. I'm just looking at the first
okay.
one.
Okay, all right.
And the first one has Julianne Hough in the remake of Footloose and from Dancing with the Stars, and can actually sing, and has had a minor country career. Maybe it was major. I don't know. I don't work in country music anymore. But anyway, she can sing. And so she is Jolene. You don't know what kind of person I am. I know how you judge me.
How great would it have been? Like, you're expecting this to be like this wholesome, like Hallmarky stuff. Like, and it turns out like Dolly Parton like produces like Rob Zombie's like take on like something. And you're just like, oh my goodness, that's a lot of blood. And what kind of crime are they committing? Oh my goodness, that I really didn't think the Dolly Parton brand lent itself to this.
Yes, that's really funny. So this is the kind of thing that people who like that kind of, it's going to make you feel good at the end, or it's going to move you. There are, I'm just assuming, no aliens. I doubt there are any car chases. Looking at the people who are involved in each of the episodes, Delta Burke is in one.
I really think the Dolly Parton brand could use more gore and aliens.
Kathleen Turner, Patricia Wettig, Timothy Busfield. What is that guy's name?
Did they build a time machine and
Kimberly
pick up the
80s? Paisley. Like... David Denman, Dallas Roberts.
I need to have a friend that is named for a city.
Mac Davis, the singer. Just a lot of people who you would recognize as character actors. Gerald McRaney, I guess he's there with Delta Burke. I'm sure I saw John Corbett. I'm sure I did. He does a lot of these kind of movies. I'm sure it pays very well. So you have working actors and or singers who can do a good job.
Or at least well enough for the material that
yes.
is prob like if this is on the Hallmark level, and I'm not trying to be insulting, but I'm just saying like most of these don't end up like, you know, for best dramatic like Emmy nomination, you know.
There are a lot of very attractive people, and then you have the character-looking people, you know what I'm saying, the adorable children, and the regular-looking women, and then the stunning women who all are apparently friends. So what I'm getting out of this is all of them – I thought it said Adam Cravens. It says Adam Cronin.
How great would it be if I just hid that from you until this moment? I was like, oh, by the way, I'm on the Dolly Parton Netflix special.
So the first one is Jolene. The second one is Two Doors Down. Maybe you never played that song.
I didn't.
And then If I Had Wings, Cracker Jack, unfamiliar with that, Down from Dover, Sugar Hill, J.J. Sneed, and These Old Bones. Okay, I only know two of those songs. Two doors down, they're laughing and having a party.
Two doors down. Working nine to five,
not in it.
That's all I know.
It's 9 to 5, but it's two doors down. Two doors down. Anyway, so it's that and Jolene.
I do know Jolene.
I love that song. Anyway, that's what it's about. It's the stories behind her song. Kind of, sort of.
Extrapolated to, you know, a larger.
Now, in the first episode, she introduces it, saying, hey, I'm Dolly, I'm at Dollywood, yada, 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 and this is the story of my song Jolene. Or maybe this is the backstory she had in her head. I don't know. Because when she talks about Jolene, I don't think she ever actually knew her. It was just like, oh, yeah. But it doesn't matter. You'll get to hear Dolly, and Dolly plays a character in this. She does not play herself. So you're going to get a little bit of Dolly. You're going to get some singing, and I'm sure it'll be heart-tugging. In one of the scenes, women were planning something. It was what one would call a hen party.
Okay.
Yes, one of those scenes.
A hootenanny?
No, they had not reached that point. They were planning a hootenanny.
Okay, all right. Okay. All right.
And so someone said, and this is hilarious because I use the app and yet don't use it for gossip. My next door app is blowing up. Do you know what happened to the sheriff's son? Next door does not blow up. Next door is my cat's lost and who did your roof? It does not blow up. So there was that aspect which I found funny. And as they're talking about this outrageous thing this kid did, the woman whose house it was in that was hosting it, she goes, now let's not all be talking about someone else or something like that. Let's not all be snobby about it. And it's like, I really don't think that happens. That someone would go, okay.
No, well, I would say that the amount of verisimilitude in these films is probably not very high. I'm just going to go ahead and put it out there. Like, and whoever was writing the script probably, like, doesn't understand what apps do anyways. They're just like, people use that word. Can apps do that?
I also don't think it's the kind of show that people like us would watch and then disseminate because it's really what we usually do. However, there is a market for this, certainly on Netflix, and certainly that needs more original programming. And if you want a household beloved, here's someone Tom Hanks could play, Dolly Parton, another beloved person.
You know, I know that you're joking, but like, Hanks is good. Yeah, Hanks is good.
And I know someone who works at Dollywood who has met her many, many, many times, which in a way means I know her. Huh. But anyway, she said, because she spent a lot of time with her, and she goes, at least the time she spent with her, it's no, like, on-off thing. She goes, she's just as genuine and as warm as you think she is.
Well, I mean, like, honest to goodness, like, I can't think of a story that I've ever heard that somebody was like, oh, yeah, and then Dolly did this. I mean, like, when Gatlinburg, like, when they had that fire, like, mm-hmm. a couple years ago, like, she was putting people up in, like, apartments and, like, I mean, it was just, she really seems like one of those people that just, she sees, like, you know, an injustice or she sees something wrong or she sees somebody suffering and she doesn't wait for the camera to come to her. She's just like, we need to solve this.
Right.
Yeah. Like, and like I said, I would assume it at some point. If she was, like, not who she portrayed herself to be, you probably would have had that, you know, come out. Or you would have had a story about, you know, like, oh, well, this is the Dolly right. behind closed doors.
So this is a quality program. It is a certain type of program. And it's probably not what most Netflix viewers expect is on Netflix, but it doesn't mean there isn't a market for it, and it is done in just the way I would have assumed it would have been done. It is what it is, and in that way, it does it well.
But there's a – just because I am not the market that something is made for does not mean that, like, it's not made for someone.
Right. I love Dolly Parton.
Yeah.
This just isn't usually entertainment that I watch just because – you know, nothing's blowing up.
But if you will look
at Dolly Parton.
If you will look at the litany of Hallmark movies, like, there's obviously someone out there that does want to see this.
That reminds me.
Sure.
We still have time to do this. But Hallmark or Lifetime, I forget which one, they meld in my mind. They want people with strong opinions to watch, I think, 20 of those films. State their opinions, whether they like it or don't like it, and why not. And for that, they get $1,000.
I feel like some of my opinions would almost negate the $1,000 after they heard them. They'd just be like, oh, wow, we didn't consider that somebody would say that. Can we not give him the money?
In order to be considered, you have to make a two-minute video. And I think the two-minute video is about your holiday spirit, which the people who have really strong opinions, you're asking a totally different skill set.
It has to be a minimum of, or they want me to keep it to 2 minutes?
Keep it to.
Oh, geez.
And it's all about your holiday spirit.
Not
how you could do a great job talking about a movie.
Jane, we have two podcasts, and we usually struggle to keep them under 45 minutes.
I don't
know if I have that skill set. I have a hard time answering questions just yes or no.
Yeah.
Like, when people ask me anything, I'm just like, well, and they're like, Adam, no, just yes or no. That's the only answer I need. But no, just give me one of those answers.
I have a very vivid memory of being at the bus stop with a kid who was a year older than me, and he asked me a question, and I answered it. And his response was, can't you just answer a question? Do you have to have a story with everything? And it's like,
yeah. Yeah, I do. Get out of my face.
At that time in my life, I just chose to say nothing. Now, I would have known how to respond, and I would like to relive that moment.
I think there's a song out there that talks about why we shouldn't have knowledge of things that are going to be.
I guess.
There's probably a Hallmark movie that also details that.
You're listening to Binge or Cringe, brought to you by Hinson Oakley Family Dentistry. Jane Ellen talking with Adam Cravens about what is worth watching on TV.
Mm-hmm. On the television.
And you'll have to tell me if we did this, because I don't recall. I'm having a hard time knowing what day it is. Because it's all a blur.
That happens to me a lot.
So
the only day I ever know conclusively that it is Saturday.
I don't know if I spoke with you about this or if we did a show about the show called Explained.
Here's the deal. I also don't recall what conversations we have in front of microphones. And after, which is why oftentimes whenever we start talking and we start borderlining into entertaining, one of us will go, stop, save it, stop.
Okay, well then I'll just keep this brief, because I know I have spoken about it to many people at great length. I just don't know if we did a show about it. So there's that. Anyway,
which is a real first world problem, guys.
Yeah, I know.
Like, when you're... Well, did I have a conversation? Was this in my head? Was it with a person? And was it with a person in front of a microphone?
Exactly. So this is called Explained, and oh my, it's clever. And these are mini documentaries. They're 18 to 20 minutes long. Each one is voiced by someone who you go, I know who that is, but you just can't picture them. So it's not the same narrator. It's, you know.
But it's a well-known enough person.
Yes, someone you would know. For instance, Christian Slater. He voices the one on cryptocurrency. What a great choice. So it takes whatever it is, and it says, like, cryptocurrency explained. Now, I know a little about cryptocurrency. I know it's cryptic. It's currency. But as to how it really, really works, after 20 minutes, I feel I could say more than that sentence I just said to you about cryptocurrency.
That's okay. Well, I mean, that's kind of nice. Yeah.
And so it takes very diverse subjects and breaks it down in a way where you hear stuff all the time, like the stock market. You know the stock market, it exists. You know it rises and falls. You may have stock, you may not. You know, stock can make you money, and you know that if you had bought Microsoft stock 30 years ago, you'd meet a gajillionaire. But do you know a lot more about it?
I mean, besides
the movie Greed?
The day, like, that you could read out of, like, you know, Encyclopedia Britannica. No. Like,
so it breaks it down as to what is stock, and then there was another one on money and things that I'd never, ever thought of. Besides the name Trump, not as president, but as a money holder, let's say, builder of things, name putting honor of things.
That's a word.
Okay. Sure. Yeah. They were talking about wealth in terms of Carnegie and Rockefeller and these people who they were
kind of
the stockholders.
With.
They were the ones. They created something. It had their name, and then they made a gajillion dollars off of it, and then the wealth passed on. Bad news for us. Unless we create something from scratch that is worth a ton of dough and invest it, we're probably not ever going to be gajillionaires.
Yeah, I've really already come to that.
I still have hope.
Conclusion.
Now, and so it's a breakdown on one of these shows about money in that how these people like Rockefeller and Carnegie, you got this money. This is called
Netflix.
It's called Explain. And how you, if you have this much money and how you and your family, it just goes and goes and goes. And once you have, let's say, it's easy to turn $50 million into $1 billion. It's much easier to do that as long as you have time on your side. You don't have to do anything except let it sit in a bank, and it's going to go.
I like these. It's easy.
I never really thought about that.
It's like one of them easy bake ovens.
So it breaks things down. It broke things down about owning a house and how things had changed. If Lincoln had not been shot, the real estate of today would look different. And
because of Lincoln being shot?
Yes, because he had signed into law that the freed slaves would be given so much land. And after he was shot, our good friend from Tennessee said, not going to do it.
Ross Perot?
Yes, and he took it.
I knew he was old.
and he took it out. So it was never enacted. So then you have the white population kept owning land, and yet the former slaves, though free, couldn't own land. And so you got a disparity of property that went all the way up to the point of not being allowed to buy in this neighborhood because you're going to drag the price down. And then how that changed. And it was fascinating because I never thought about it like that.
I'll say when you break like the stuff in Netflix that isn't like, you know, the multi-million dollar like IP that they've got that they've spent a ton of money on. This is actually one of the things that they do really
yes.
like shows like they have another show called The Toys That Made Us.
Mm-hmm.
And it breaks down like really pop like they've got an episode on Barbie. They've got an episode on He-Man.
Malibu Stacy.
That's not real. That's a pretend IP. But
right,
like if they ever do one for in universe things in TV shows, like if they ever wanted to be like, does anybody know about Mandalay Industries? Hypothetically, you could do a show like that, or like, you know, Duff Beer, mm-hmm. like in the Simpsons.
Duff Man. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Duff Man can't breathe.
Anyway, Explained is fascinating in that it's all completely different. It explains political correctness. It explains beauty. It explains tattoos.
Yeah.
And
I really can't get past a show that basically it's like biography or a documentary on fake properties or like entities within. Seriously, would you not watch that? Like, okay, like let's say you do a biography on C. Montgomery Burns, like just talking about like how he made his wealth. Like you've got interviews with me and like it's all mockumentary. Like, but I mean, do you not kind
of? Here's what's annoying to me. You and I have the ability to do this. We have the technology. We can make him better, faster, stronger. And yet, we don't have the time. That's sad.
Time is not on our side.
It is not on our side.
Not to admit, we also don't own any of these intellectual properties.
That's true. Oh, there's another one that's fascinating. It's on music. And you'd think, oh, this is going to be about whom. No. It's what consists of music and what notes in different cultures mean different things. And it took a few songs that had this bass line, and the bass line was virtually the same, and it meant lament. The bass line in While My Guitar Gently Weeps was one of them, and it was the same bass line in all these other things. But they said in, like, Thailand, for instance, this is a celebration. It's like, and how your brain takes in a repetitive noise and turns it into music.
Well, you had a similar kind of aesthetic in, if you remember the soundtrack, like the orchestral score for Dark Knight. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not your traditional, like, you know, the Superman theme was, you know, dun da 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 da. Like, they would take like a sound and keep like amplifying it or multiplying mm-hmm. it to the point that like they wanted you to feel tense during the scene, but it wasn't in the same way that like, you know, Jaws did a dun dun. Dun, dun. Mm-hmm. Like, you probably can't hum a whole lot from Dark Knight, but I guarantee you there were points in that movie like your hair was on the back of your neck was standing up, and it was basically because the music was not tricking you, but it was putting you into a state of like mm-hmm. tension or whatever, probably in a similar way to the way that they were taking those bass lines from it.
And here's another one that fascinated me, and it was about gene editing. And where it is right now, and
you're talking about like Lee jeans or
designer babies, designer babies, and how all this had evolved in order
mutations like the X-Men,
in order to cure a disease before it even had a chance to form, is the idea. So remove the gene that causes the disease. And then the child does not have the disease. So in a sense, you have cured it because you have removed it.
So you're saying like instead of like there being an outbreak of smallpox, we go back to the beginning. And before smallpox ever becomes an outbreak, we're just like, oh, that's going to do that.
Pretty much.
Okay. But just not, more yes, eloquent.
More. What it broke down to is dwarfism a disease? Because they're talking to these little people. We don't say dwarfism anymore, do we? But, you know, it is. There was a long word that described her body shape. And she said, this tells me that I'm a disease because could make someone, make the child not suffer from. And she said, I'm not suffering.
Well,
she goes,
I mean,
what's happening is people around me can be horrible to me. And in that way, I suffer. But I don't suffer because I'm a small person. And so she herself was confused because she said that she was pro-choice, but she also doesn't suffer from being a little person. And she goes, I don't even know how to answer this.
Well, I mean, besides the number of questions that have been raised by any number of episodes of Star Trek,
like, oh, yeah.
That's kind of where you get into with gene editing. Like, what... I mean, probably, and I would say, like, as technology, like, furthers itself, this is going to become a realer.
Yeah, it is. And it's not ready to do yet.
What do you edit out? Like, okay, like, I'm diabetic and I have bad vision. Like,
Yes, a lot of this is for diabetes.
I mean, that's what I'm saying.
It's to remove that Okay. That which makes
let,
you
let
a diabetic.
Let me just go ahead and say right now, if you want to remove diabetes like from the world, I'm all for it. There is no benefit to diabetes. Like, I'm not telling you that like I'm a defect or that I feel like...
Right.
But like, I'd really dig it if my pancreas could make insulin.
Well, see, that's where this is all coming from. Something in which people have that they do suffer from, and diabetes is something from which you suffer. And so...
There's a lot of days I'd like to eat cake.
Yeah. So if... Before you're even born, when you're an embryo, something can go, there's that diabetes thing. Let's take that out.
This is hereditary. But instead of that, it's just like, hey, hold on. There's an eggshell right there.
Here's the question that I found very fascinating, because as I'm listening, I'm going, I want that. I would also like that. So you've removed diabetes from your unborn child.
Okay.
Which is awesome, and I applaud that, and I think if you have the opportunity, you should do that.
But
now, if you want, you can make that child genetically able to build more muscle. Or maybe, you can't guarantee the kid's going to be brilliant, but you can genetically bump it up a bit. So in the right environment, this child would be very, very, very smart.
I know that I joked about there being an episode of Star Trek that details that, but there is an episode of Deep Space Nine that details exactly what you're talking about. And, like, to a certain degree, like, when you start talking about and you start creating, like, you know, the perfect, like, or anything, like, if everybody's, you know, blonde-haired and blue-eyed.
And so here's like, what's even more interesting. And, again, this is from a 20-minute thing, and it just got me thinking. Globally... When gene editing is talked to with other people who aren't the scientists, the people who are closer to the Holocaust are further and further away from it in an accepting way because of what Hitler was doing.
Hitler, he wasn't doing it on the genetic level, but he wanted to breed. He was doing it with the technology that they had at that time. Like, again, blonde hair, blue eyed. Like, he wanted to create, like, the Aryan race, but instead of, like, doing it in a Petri dish, he was just like, we will just exterminate these people.
Right. And so that kind of gene editing, I'm not in support of. But I am in support of if you're going to be born with, let's say, and I don't want to offend anyone, but let's say you're going to be born with no limbs at all. As a mother-to-be, I know that most people have at least one limb and that life is going to be difficult for you. So if I can give you your four limbs... I would choose to give you your four limbs.
Or I think what you're like, if somebody was going to be born blind, you're not saying that there's anything wrong with people that are blind.
No, there isn't.
But if you had the choice between your child being blind or having the ability to see, which would you choose? But I think you get into that weird.
Yeah.
Eventually, you will get to a place that it's like, is this ethical?
Right.
To do the thing that you're asking. And like, one's like diabetes. Or, like, if we just take out, like, the gene that caused, you know, we take out the thing.
Sickle cell anemia was another one.
Like, or, what if you can cure, like, AIDS by doing this? Like, all of these, those are easy questions to answer right there. But when you start getting into the, okay, well, I want my kid to have blue eyes. Well,
that apparently is super easy to do.
I want my kid to be blonde. I want them to be 6'4", and I want them to be a super genius. Like, Where do you stop? I think that's the problem that you get into when you start like basically like typing up your own gene sequence. Yeah.
And then because we watch a lot of science fiction, you could just go ahead 500 years and go, maybe people are now classified by whether or not their genes were edited.
Or like does it become only the super rich?
Yes, and that was another point that was brought up. The super rich could afford this. I know that if this was offered to me right now, I cannot afford to gene edit.
Unless they got a coupon day, my kids ain't getting gene edited.
So this should tell you enough that these are 20-minute little shows unexplained, and they're really in-depth.
And we probably just did like
more than
nearly 20 minutes on that.
What I learned about marijuana, I had no idea. And I'm not an expert in any way. And yet I had no idea that there were all these different kinds of plants. And how you had the older scientists talking about weed. By the way, that one's narrated by Kevin Smith. And
of course it is.
I figured it was going to be him
or Cheech or Chong.
Or Seth Rogen.
Yeah.
So apparently the older generation, including the older generation of scientists, are saying what is being produced today, because the government is not involved, people don't know what they're buying in the states where it is legal, and they don't know what they're buying, ingesting, smoking, because there is no regulation. And it's different than what people could access in the 60s and 70s. Is that was pretty much all the same type of thing.
Or the way that if, like, you're buying, like, chicken.
Yes.
There is something that regulates, like, you can do that, you can do this, it doesn't have this much of this in it, mm-hmm. like, it has to be, you know, raised like that. But when you're talking about something that isn't regulated, like, it brings it into a lot of questions. But it's also probably not, you know, how much interference do you want from the government? Which is another 20-minute
conversation. I know, but it's fascinating.
Yeah.
Because, and I don't use marijuana. I guess if I did, I would want to know what I was buying was what I was buying.
You want to make sure that, like, when you get a thing of milk, you know that there...
I'm buying cow milk.
There's regulation to make sure that, like, it has, you know, this. There's a standard of this.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in, like, if you're purchasing marijuana at that point, like, I mean, it's, you know, what are you buying?
Yeah, and I think it was C. Everett Koop, actually, or C. Everett Koop's lookalike, saying you can put whatever name you want on it, but it means nothing, because Pineapple Express in Colorado is not necessarily the same Pineapple Express in San Diego.
It's not like Coca-Cola. When you buy Coca-Cola from anywhere, like, Coke has a standard and mm-hmm. says it, you know, it's got, you know, this much in this, it's got this much of the syrup in this. You know, whenever you get this, it needs to be served at this temperature. Mm-hmm. Like, pretty much anywhere you buy a Coke or a Diet Coke or a Coke Zero or whatever, you're getting the same thing.
And I'd never thought about that. Mostly because it doesn't affect me.
Right.
But also just because intellectually, that's actually kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Like, I did not know that.
I did not know that.
Weird, wacky stuff.
Wacky stuff.
So I have buzzed through the two seasons of Explained, and it's like, I didn't know this was on a season prior, and I just have eaten it up. And it was simply fascinating. And now I want my children to watch all of them except one. Now, and when you go through the episodes, you'll understand why. It is labeled mature only because, not because the topics, I mean, cryptocurrency, but they don't edit the people talking. So if the people choose to use certain words, you hear those words. That's about
There's a lot of, like, what was it I was watching? I think it's on Hulu, My 600-Pound Life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a show about, like people that are trying to get, like, you know, surgeries, or they're having health problems because of their weights. Like, they're not in there, like, just, you know, dropping the F-bomb, like, left and right. But sometimes on those shows, you'll see, like, a medical procedure. And mm-hmm. it might be, you know, like, them, you know, cutting off, like, this or showing that. And it's not that, like, it's graphic in, like, the adult, like, kind of obscene kind of way. But, I mean, whenever you're seeing somebody, like, sliced mm-hmm. open in surgery, it's also not something you would see, say, on 7 o'clock on NBC.
True. So it's just really good. And it's nice and bite-sized. And
it makes you a little
smarter. It's a conversation starter,
yeah.
really.
Yeah.
And it drops just a little knowledge to make you dangerous, but in some cases, it really explains stuff in an entertaining manner.
I am really of the mind that anything you do to educate someone so that they are more intelligent or more informed on a subject mm-hmm. is not necessarily a bad thing.
Oh, and there is one that you're going to watch tonight.
Sure.
Because it's called eSports.
Oh, I'm not excited about
that. And it's about how video gamers...
Oh, wait. Those kind of sports.
Video gamers. What is chess not a sport? Well, then why isn't a video game a sport?
Why is a Call of Duty deathmatch not a sport?
But it is. In ways that I hadn't even just... You need to watch that one.
So
eSports.
Like, I am a superstar about at Mario Kart. So I am.
Yes.
Wow, I'm a jock.
Yep.
I'm 40 years in.
You can get a letter jacket.
I did not know that. Weird, wild, and wacky stuff.
As soon as they started with esports, I went, oh, this is about Adam.
Yeah. You pictured me playing this episode of Mario Kart. Just doing like the Rocky montage. Do, 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 do. Why is he hitting a punching bag? That has nothing to do with playing that game.
It's really interesting.
Why is he wearing Michael B. Jordan's outfit from Creed?
And you can understand what K-pop is. And if you don't know, Adam, as your daughter gets older, you'll find out.
What K-pop is?
Yes.
Is it like ketchup popcorn?
No, it is not.
Is it shorted?
No.
Okay.
No. Anyway, thank you so much for listening. And now I realize you're already watching Explained because it's just that interesting. It just is.
I'm interested.
Yeah, I'm totally interested. And I wish they'd let us host one of them, but it's not a host type sitch. It just isn't.
I don't even know what that word means.
I don't know either.
We can't use abbreviation.
Not anymore. Anyway, we will be back next week. Thanks to you. Binge or Cringe has happened. I'm Jane Ellen.
Binge or Cringe, starring Jane Ellen and Adam Cravens, is a Hinson Oakley Podcast Center production. Listen to new or past podcasts anytime at rock937online.com.